Greetings, greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. Yes, welcome back. It's the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back to the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought, and it's good to be back with everybody. Although it's getting more and more difficult to do this, I must say, now that all media seems to be focused on the make-believe battle between the forces of left and right, as represented by the traditional left, the left we always knew and loathed, and the new version of what was once called the right, the new version of what is expected to pass for the right, and it makes it much more difficult for those of us who know the truth to remain interested in the debate. Much less to be motivated to offer commentary to a world so obviously uninterested in what is true. It makes it more difficult. The news is just not as interesting as it once was. Now that the sides are so clearly defined, you've got ABC, NBC, CBS, Bloomberg, the New York Times, the Washington Post. Is there anyone I'm forgetting? MSNBC. All lined up on the faux left. No, they're the real left. No doubt about that. And then you've got the others on the faux right. And well, it's just hard to break through the noise of all that. But in order to lift our spirits right off the top here, we'll begin with a big update on the big day without dykes that's coming up. Yes, we've been covering it. We've all got our calendars marked. We're all waiting for the day without dykes. And although my other brother Daryl is somewhat concerned that a day without dykes could collapse the flannel shirt market, for those of you who are invested, just let me remind you that those smelly old dykes don't change their clothes as often as most people. And I think the market will probably survive a day without dykes. The update today from the New York Post, the general strike that has been called for March, when is it? March 8th, is it? Well, I have my calendar marked. You'd think I would know. Yes, March 8th. They've published a manifesto. As a matter of fact, they published it in The Guardian, appropriately enough, a left-wing homosexualist newspaper broadsheet from the United Kingdom. They've published their manifesto. And guess who published it? Can you guess? The manifesto was co-authored by let's see if I can say this. Too many vowels. Ramsa Youssef Ode, which apparently is one of the dykes. She is a convicted terrorist. Yeah, she was a Palestinian, convicted in Israel in 1970 for her part in two terrorist bombings. One of the bombings killed two students. And she spent 10 years in prison in Israel for killing two students, inexplicably, just 10 years, and then somehow managed to become a United States citizen under the Barry Ho administration in 2004 by lying about her past. She was convicted in 2014 of immigration fraud, but she's won a new trial set to start in the spring. She claimed she had been suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder at the time she lied on her application. No doubt the bombings triggered PTSD in this particular Palestinian dyke who helped author the manifesto of The Day Without Dykes published in The Guardian this past week. Let's see. She's got another co-author, Angela Davis, the ever-present Stalinist professor and hairstyle guru. Yes, Angela Davis, and also, can I pronounce this? Tithi Bhattacharya. Tithi Bhattacharya, a Maoist who writes essays for the International Socialist Review. They say, now you remember last week, we had the big poll here with the Weekly Worldview audience asking, what will the Dykes do on the day without Dykes when they all stay home? Well, the Maoist, Stalinist, terrorist authors of the Manifesto for the Day Without Dykes says that women should spend their day not doing laundry, not cleaning the house, not washing their Subaru. No. They say they should spend their day blocking roads, bridges, and squares, which is relatively easy for a small group of these dykes, as they tend to be rather, well, let's just say broad. How about that? Yes, blocking roads, bridges, and abstaining from, listen to this, abstaining from domestic care and sex work. So I guess they're enlisting prostitutes in the Day Without Dykes? Hide. Anyway, they're supposed to abstain from cleaning the house, abstain from doing laundry, and prostitution. And they're asked to wear red, oddly enough, along with the Maoist and the Stalinist and the Palestinian terrorists. Yes, they should all wear red in solidarity with their fellow dykes who will park their Subarus at home and abstain from all domestic activity and sex work. So there we have the update on the big Day Without Dykes out of the way. And now we want to go to a story that's, well, it's somewhat sad. It's a little bit sad. It's about Rachel Dolezal. Do you remember Rachel Dolezal? He asked his extremely attractive audio engineer. Don't remember Rachel Dolezal at all. Doesn't even ring a bell. She was the NAACP, what did she do there? Well, it's hard to say exactly what she did there, but she worked at the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. She had a job there, but she was outed as being white when she had been holding herself out as being, well, something other than white. Rachel was, yes. According to the journal.ie, I'm not sure where that is, .ie, I hadn't heard that one. I think that's Ireland? Anyway, she was outed in 2015 as a white woman presenting herself as black. So now it rings a bell, vaguely, in the minds of everyone. Well, now it's been 2 years since Rachel was outed as a white woman. And now she says she's jobless, she's living on food stamps, and she's on the verge of homelessness. On the verge of homelessness. What does that mean? She's annoyed the people she's staying with to the point where they're about to kick her out. And she gave an interview to The Guardian, the aforementioned left-wing homosexualist rag from the United Kingdom, portions of which are reprinted here in the journal.ie article. And apparently, she says she was forced to quit her job, shilling and whining about racial inequality over at the NAACP, and now she cannot find a job. Her skill set as a whiner and an all-around phony, that skill set apparently is not as in demand as it once was, and she has not been able to find a job. In her new book, Aha! Now we find out why she's given an interview, and she's willing to stand up in front of God and everyone and admit that she can't get a job, she has no skills, she's pathetic, broke, and about to be kicked out of her house. Why would anyone stand up and tell everyone that? Only if you're shilling a book, which she is doing now. She's written a new book. Do we have the title here? Her new book is, well, we don't care. I'm not going to recommend it. I won't be purchasing it. My guess is it never sees the light of day on Amazon's bestseller lists, or even any of the other lesser bestseller lists, because her mom and dad aren't going to buy any copies. Yes, her mom and dad, as a matter of fact, if you remember back, when she was outed as a white woman, her parents quickly commented publicly saying that their daughter is in fact white, and they produced photographs of her with pale white skin and blonde hair, which to which her employers at the NAACP did not react favorably, and she was fired. Anyway, in her new book, Ms. Dolezal, if she hasn't transitioned yet, and that's certainly possible that she could, in fact, we'll just say Dolezal, not Ms. Dolezal or anything like that, because we don't want to draw any boundaries around such a free-spirited, independent thinker as Rachel Dolezal. Dolezal writes in her new book, she whines and cries and moans about her upbringing with her white Christian fundamentalist parents. She says her new book is going to set the record straight. That's what she says. She was asked by an interviewer over at The Guardian if she thinks she's ever done anything wrong in all this. And she says, no, I don't. I don't think you can do something wrong with your identity if you are living your authenticity. And I am living your authenticity. She's authentically broke, jobless, and about to get kicked out of the apartment where she had somehow convinced some poor, pathetic saps to put her up for a while. And, well, that's authentically where she is right now. Let's see. She says that it's been hard to get work, of course, since her skill set has fallen out of favor. And her memoir was turned down by 30 publishing houses before one agreed to publish it. She says it's been hard to find work. Well, it's hard to find work, Rachel, if you've never actually done any work. If you've never actually done anything productive for society, it's really hard. Once you get bounced out of your make-work gig over at the NAACP, it's pretty hard to find work. You might want to think about becoming an apprentice as, say, an electrician. Drywall. Big business, right? How about as a crane operator? Maybe a plumber. Nah, she could never pull that off. That's actual work. Let's see now. Now, I wonder, how is it that The Guardian granted her an interview? Why would The Guardian grant an interview to someone no one wants to hear about and no one wants to hear from and everyone has already forgotten? Why would The Guardian grant an in-depth interview? And it makes you wonder if it's possible that The Guardian is somehow affiliated with the publisher, the one publisher who decided to publish her books. Yes, she says it was very difficult to get her book published. It's been hard to get the word out. And trust me, Rachel, this interview is not going to help. No. We had all pretty much forgotten that you existed, and now we find out, well, that you're shilling a book. I wonder if she'll publicize her book on March 8th, The Day Without Dykes, or if she'll stay home, as she should. I think we'll have to wait and see about that. Now, finally, one more quick update on Milo Yiannopoulos. This may be the last time you hear about Milo. You know, he was kicked off. He resigned from Breitbart after being asked to leave because of his advocacy of pedophilia that homosexual men are so often wont to do. He advocated pedophilia. The video, which has been public for over a year, finally was brought out into the broader light of media scrutiny, and Milo was, well, he lost his book contract. He lost his speaking gig at CPAC, which we call CPAP, for a number of reasons. Yeah, it's it helps you sleep, is CPAP. He lost his gig there, and then he had to resign as a Breitbart editor. Breitbart is now trolling, apparently, for a new token faggot editor. And they published a story this past week about a transgender YouTube sensation who is a critic of cultural Marxism and whose Facebook page has been banned because I'm not sure which way this tranny went, so I don't want to use the inappropriate pronoun. But, well, for speaking out against so-called cultural Marxism, he, she, it says that Facebook regularly censors libertarian and conservative pages, of which apparently tranny Blair White is now one. She can find herself or himself or whatever ensconced in the new definition of conservative as Breitbart trolls. Breitbart, no doubt, on their way to going from a loudmouth queer to a full-on tranny. And we're back. It's the Weekly Worldview. Welcome. Welcome back. Yes, I wanted to do the voice. I wanted to do the lisp on the tranny being trolled by Breitbart, but I couldn't figure out which way to go with it. I couldn't figure out whether to go with Facebook has repeatedly shown their dedication to censoring libertarian and conservative pages. Or If it went the other way, it would be, hey, Facebook has repeatedly shown their dedication to censoring libertarian and conservative pages. So you just don't know which way to go with the, and that's how it gets all confusing. It just generally cramps my style. And I can already tell that my extremely attractive audio engineer is somewhat disquieted by the content of the program so far, so I think I should leave the WNBA story aside and the wrestling story and the NFL story and this and this. These have to go aside. We may come back to these later because I don't want my extremely attractive audio engineer to flee the studio in disgust because of too many stories of, well, all of that. So let us go away from all of that. Instead, we'll go directly to the science. Really? File. Yes. We'll go there right now. And we'll go to indy100.com, a news site that is as credible as anything else out there. They're at least as credible as anyone who was kicked out of the White House briefing room last week. And they are reporting that UFO sightings are at an all-time high. That's right, they're at an all-time high. And this is according to a statistician named Sam. Yes, he says he collated sightings, UFO sightings, recorded by the National UFO Reporting Center. He says not only are they at an all-time high, but there's been an upward trend. So they're at an all-time high, and people are just seeing more and more of them everywhere. And according to Sam, who's a statistician, by the way, he says the United States seems to be the most prone to UFO sightings. We seem to see more UFO sightings here in America than anywhere else in the world. And why do you think that is? It's because if you were traveling intergalactically from another world, another universe even, no, not another universe, well, you could be traveling from the multiverse, and you wanted to go to a place that was fairly nice, you would probably stop in America before you went anywhere else. Better roads, better restaurants, right? Right? So, yeah, here in America, this is where they hang out, apparently. They want to go to Applebee's, I think. 300 times as many sightings in the U.S. than the global average. 300 times. Yeah. And why is this? Why is it that people are seeing UFOs everywhere they look? Well, it's because as a civilization, as a society, we have become more and more detached from reality. And as that happens, well, you start to see things. You get spots before your eyes. And the news media doesn't help. They don't help at all. And in fact, we've got another article here that we will pull out of the science. Really? File. The story of the new super Earth. Yes, the new super Earth capable of supporting life. That's what the headline says. And who am I to argue with the writers of the headlines? After all, they just quoted a statistician named Sam. So these are reliable sources. This is from techtimes.com. And if you can put yourself in the place right now of the average publicly educated moron out there, which, by the way, is almost everyone around you, if you stop in your daily activities and just look around, realize that just about everyone around you is a publicly educated moron, handicapped from a young age by the government's school systems. And what do they think when they read this headline? Super Earth, capable of supporting life, scientists claim. Well, it's scientists. And we've been taught from the most tenderest of ages to practically worship scientists. And they're saying they've got a super Earth capable of supporting life. We'll read from the Tech Times article. There is a super Earth. That's the first line of the article. There is a super Earth existing outside the solar system near our planet. A team has discovered over 100 new planets. And according to the scientists, many of these planets are Earth-like and can support life. Yes, this is all from a new study that's going to be published in the Astrophysical Journal. Uh-huh. I said the Astrophysical Journal. Look it up. It's a very credible source. Tech Times goes on to report that the premise of a super Earth supporting life is based on the fact that planets were found orbiting all stars near the sun. Let me try that again. The premise of super Earth supporting life is based on the fact that planets were found orbiting all stars near the sun. Okay. So while scientists in this article may have discovered other planets, and I have no doubt they have not discovered a proofreader. I think what they're trying to say that all the planets were found orbiting near the sun. I think that's what they meant to say. So it is normal to expect Earth-like conditions supporting life might be present. They slipped the might in there because none of them really know anything. But if you're the average publicly educated moron who just saw a UFO just the other day, and you've been following the news, just, you know, you check your Yahoo every day. Well, how are you supposed to take this kind of stuff? They say that they've seen over 100 planets. Now, how do they see these planets? They see these planets. Well, they don't really see them, as a matter of fact. If you were going to say they saw these planets, you'd have to put saw in quotation marks. Because what they see are the signatures of planets. Yeah. They see the signature of a planet passing in front of a star. And I'll get into more of this later. Because if you read these articles, you'd think we have a rover on these planets, for crying out loud. You'd think we'd have live video streams coming from these planets as you read these articles. They talk about how they should support life, they could support life, and all of that. So the Super Earth story, I pulled this down on Tuesday. Well, that was bumped out of the headlines about midweek with another story that comes to us from the Science Really file. That's right. The Independent from the United Kingdom reports that NASA is announcing the Holy Grail. The Holy Grail, they say, of planetary discoveries. They found an entire solar system filled with planets that look like Earth. That's the first line of the article from the Independent. Scientists have found a solar system filled with planets that look like Earth. Oh, and that could support life, by the way. NASA has announced it, and so they stick NASA in there to give themselves some credibility here, and they just go on with the diluted, bizarro story. They say at least three of the seven planets represent the Holy Grail for planet-hunting astronomers because they're within the temperate zone, that famous Goldilocks zone. They're at just the right temperature to allow alien life to flourish, and they're capable of having oceans. Now, I don't know who it was at NASA who made the determination of what temperature alien life would need to flourish, because after all, it's alien life. It's not like life on Earth, it's alien life. How do we know what temperature they need? Maybe they like it to be 650 degrees, right? And they breathe noxious gas. Maybe they don't even breathe. Anyway. But they say that this is the right temperature. They're capable of having oceans. They go on to say that no other star system has ever been found to contain so many Earth-sized rocky planets of the kind thought to be necessary to contain aliens. That's right. Aliens, I said. And they go on to say that researchers might soon find evidence of life on the planet. Yes, and we have a quote here from one of the scientists involved. He says, any evidence of life is likely to be strong, very strong, or conclusive. Those are your three choices. We're looking for life in the new Holy Grail solar system there. They are, let's see, they're looking for molecules in the atmosphere that indicate that there was biological activity. So they're looking for molecules on these planets. What do we have? Do we have a ship, the craft that has landed on this planet, for crying out loud? They seem to know an awful lot about these planets. One of the co-researchers there from the Institute of Astronomy at Cambridge University said, quote, we hope we will know if there is life there within the next decade. But even if life isn't ever found, it might eventually develop there. So we pretty much can't be wrong. We've covered all of our bases here. So you have to ask yourself, if they're looking for molecules and they know the temperature and yada, how close, how much do we know about these planets? Well, if one were to read down into the seventh paragraph of the article, which very few publicly educated morons are capable of doing or motivated enough to do, one would discover that all of these planets were found using a method called transit photometry. Now, transit photometry works by watching out for when a planet passes or transits in front of its host star, blocking out a small amount of light, allowing us to see the planet and learn about its size. So we haven't actually seen the planet. I hate to burst your bubble if you were packing your bags and getting ready for the aliens to abduct you. Because we haven't actually seen the planet. All we've seen is a disruption in certain wavelengths of light in a star that's so far away we can barely even tell it's there in the first place. We haven't seen the planet. But if you were watching CNN this past week when they announced this story, the entire time the announcer was telling the story of this holy grail, we found a solar system with Earth-like planets. The whole time, the video on the screen, it's as if you were sitting on the back of a rover strolling along the planet's surface. And the average miseducated moron might just think that they were watching a live video feed from the planet. I'm sure that there were publicly educated students on the edge of their seats waiting to see if they could see an alien pop out from behind a rock. Now, CNN never ran a disclaimer that they were just running a cartoon, an artist's interpretation of what the planet might look like. They just rolled the video and told the story and concluded with the fact that there might be 40 billion potentially habitable worlds just within our own galaxy alone. So don't think you're strange. It's no wonder you've been seeing UFOs. When I get to lose it all, security run through the wall. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. And I have to firmly admonish my extremely attractive audio engineer for violating the strict policy here at the Weekly Worldview. No bumpers where there are no guitars involved, no synthesizers, none of that stuff. Haven't you read the policy manual here at the Weekly Worldview? I mean, to roll something like that after a Stevie Ray Vaughan bumper, it's just not done. But we'll let it slide because she is extremely attractive. She gets away with a lot of that type of stuff. Now, from there, we will go to, well, I opened the show talking about the fact that it's getting more and more difficult to watch the news because the, I don't want to call them the neo-right because they're not right. But whatever has happened since Donald Trump was elected, whatever has happened, the right is no longer the right. So I can't call them the neo-right or the new right or the populist right because they're not right. Maybe we just have to call them the wrong. Does that work, the wrong? I don't think that works. I will try to think of a term to describe, well, the people that the maniacal left, you know, like those who are organizing the Day Without Dykes, the Day Without Dykes people, they absolutely hate another group of people who are not on the right. I don't know how to say it. But it's been difficult. And so I'll go now to the Queering of America file. If my extremely attractive audio engineer will agree not to flee the studio in disgust, because we're going to talk about trannies in the bathroom from the Queering of America file. Transgendered people, according to the Associated Press, this past week lost federal Obama protections that allowed them to use school bathrooms matching their gender identities. Yes, the Trump administration has come down, says the Associated Press, on the side of states' rights, lifting Obama-era federal guidelines that let the trannies go to whatever bathroom they want. Now, why does the Associated Press say that the Trump administration came down on the side of states' rights? Well, because of what Education Secretary Betsy DeVos said. She said, quote, "This is an issue best solved at the state and local level." Excuse me, Betsy, come over here. Sit down for a second, Betsy. Are you telling me that when it comes to determining whether or not a 10-year-old is a boy or a girl, that that's something that needs to be solved? First of all, does it need to be solved at all? Betsy, if you think it needs to be solved, you are not on the right. You're not on my side, that's for sure. And really, do we need the state involved in order to solve it? If there is any confusion, and I can't imagine why there would be, Betsy. But Betsy seems to think that this is an issue that needs to be solved, but she wants it solved at the state and local level to help 10-year-olds determine what bathroom they should use. And then Betsy goes on, by the way, just so as not to offend the left, Betsy DeVos says that despite the lifting of Barry's tranny in the bathroom guidance for public schools, she says anti-bullying safeguards and other queering of the schools will not be affected. That will go on undeterred. All schools, says Betsy, must ensure that LGBT students are able to thrive. Oh, no. That's right. Despite the fact that they will let go the Obama administration bathroom guidance, they will never let go of the fact that LGBT students must be able to thrive. That's according to Betsy DeVos, appointed as the Secretary of Education by the Trump administration. She says never, never, never will we allow LGBT students not to thrive. We also have a statement by Jeff Sessions, who's the Attorney General. Jeff says Congress, state legislatures, and local governments are in the best position to adopt appropriate policies or laws addressing this issue. Jeff, what issue? What's the issue, Jeff? Jeff, do you think determining what a boy or a girl is some kind of issue? Is there an issue there? Jeff. Jeff Sessions and Betsy DeVos, proudly bringing America back to the seventh year of the Barack Obama administration, and all the Trumpeteers are, yay, yes, we're winning, we won. That's it. All the gullible Trump cheerleaders, they scream like little girls at a Beatles concert. Yay, we're winning. He's making America great again, is what he's doing. Well, he's not making America straight again. Making America something. He's making America what it was in the seventh year of the Obama administration. While making sure to let us know that, well, we're going to have more from Secretary DeVos. I had never heard of this woman. I know I should have. She's a big Republican donor, apparently. So I did hear somewhere that she helped to write Common Core, which we all know that represents everything that's good and right and conservative in America. And so DeVos, she had a lot to say about lesbians, gays, bisexuals, transgenders, and queers. Now, you can't get mad at me for saying queer. They say LGBTQ. What do you want me to do? Well, she's issued a statement. She says we have a moral obligation that we cannot abdicate to protect LGBTQ students. And she calls it a key priority for the department for every school in America. That's Betsy DeVos. Jeff Sessions, who had been expected to move quickly to roll back the Barry Ho tranny bathroom directives. Well, everyone thought that Jeff Sessions, Mr. Conservative, he was just going to come out and he was just going to rewrite all this. Set America back where it needed to be, on the right path. But Ms. DeVos is resisting any efforts in that direction. As a matter of fact, she says she's concerned of the potential harm to transgender students. This is according to Republicans who heard the chatter behind the scenes between DeVos and other members of the Trump administration. White House spokesman Sean Spicer reminds us that the president is a firm believer of states' rights, and that issues like this are not best dealt with at the federal level. At which point, normal people looked at Mr. Spicer and said, "Mr. Spicer, what issue? What's the issue? You don't know what a boy or a girl is, Mr. Spicer. Are you confused on that? Is there some issue?" If you feel like you need to call someone else about that and get some advice, you need to step down. You're not qualified to be involved in governing the nation. I'm sorry about that. This article from Breitbart goes on to quote the American College of Pediatricians, who state that no one is born with a gender. Everyone is born with a biological sex. Hallelujah! Someone finally said it. You know, back in the 1990s, when the word gender was allowed to be substituted for the word sex, there were some among us who knew then that this was an issue. Because gender is a literary term, whereas sex is a biological term. And gender in literature, well, it can be debatable. And in language, gender is not always fixed. It can be applied to certain words, not applied. But sex, on the other hand, was understood to be a fixed biological fact. But when gender became sex, the door to debate its meaning was opened. And that was a door that simply should not have been opened. Sex should have never been allowed to be called gender, because once you started calling it gender, then the benders came in. And, well, and you can see where that has led to all this confusion. People so confused that they're not sure what a boy or a girl is, and they're not sure who should use this bathroom. They may not be 100% sure who should use that bathroom. In fact, they now have a bathroom symbol that shows a stick figure with half a skirt. Have you seen that? Have you seen the half skirt on the bathroom at your local high school yet? Get a load of that one. It's no wonder that people find themselves looking out the window, hoping for aliens. You're unbelievable. You're so unbelievable. I better hear some guitars pretty soon, I'm telling you right now. You're unbelievable. And it's the Weekly Worldview. I am your host, Doug McBurney. That was a guitar solo executed there. And we do appreciate that from America's most popular, extremely attractive audio engineer. America's most attractive audio engineer, according to a survey done here at the Weekly Worldview. That's right. Now, I need to apologize to all of you for the discombobulated nature of my reportage on that last story about Betsy DeVos. I'm simply not able to comprehend certain things in a normal fashion. If I were the average publicly educated moron, I could go along with the narrative and just report. And I just couldn't do it. I get confused. I apologize. I'm sorry, all right? One more thing from that article, though. The Heritage Foundation said they applauded Donald Trump and his decision on lifting the bathroom directive, saying in a statement, quote, "This move returns authority over the issue to parents and teachers in the states." That's what issue? What's the issue? And by the way, there's only one person who has authority over male and female, and that's God. The Heritage Foundation, though, is apparently comfortable with Donald Trump asserting that that authority or giving that authority to parents. Hey, if you're a parent and you want your boy to be a girl, well, you have that authority. Well, I'm afraid not, Mr. Anderson there over at the Heritage Foundation. Get out of here with that. The Heritage Foundation. Another dying, originally, you know, founded with good intentions by a few decent people, but just a complete shell, a hollowed out shell of its former conservative self. Anyway, let's move on because I'm just sick of that story. No, is there more? No, that's I don't want to do that. Oh, I grabbed the wrong stack. That was my problem. Let's go to the NFL. I grabbed the stack of stories that I'd already done, and I thought I was having some kind of flashback or that I'd been kidnapped by aliens. Franklin Graham is upset with the NFL and their, let's see, what's it called here? Their kiss cam. They have a kiss cam. Now, why would they have a kiss cam, by the way? Well, if you watch the Super Bowl or you watch the Pro Bowl, of which I watched neither. No, I was, wasn't I forced to watch the Super Bowl? I believe I was forced to watch the Super Bowl by unscrupulous New England Patriots fans. No, that was a playoff game. I didn't actually watch the Super Bowl. But I'll tell you what, sitting through a playoff game with Patriots fans, I'd rather be hit in the face with a cat repeatedly. I never want to go through that again. But anyway, if you watched either of those games, you may have seen the Kiss Cam, which is part of an ad campaign by the NFL called Fans of Love. Love has no labels. And the Kiss Cam scoots around the stadium showing various couples kissing each other, which that in and of itself is distasteful. I don't want to see other people kissing each other, for crying out loud. When in society did it become acceptable to show people kissing each other on the mouth in a romantic way? It's just not to be done. I'm sorry. That's something to be done between consenting adults of the opposite sex in private. I thought that was an understanding we had. We're trying to have a civilization here. Well, the reason the NFL has a kiss cam is so that they can show faggots and lesbians kissing each other, which is exactly what they did. If you watch the Pro Bowl or the Super Bowl, you saw various couples kissing each other. This is according to CNS News. You saw, including, by the way, homosexual men and lesbians. And then the ad posts screen graphics saying, "Love has no gender. Love has no gender." And so there, and Franklin Graham is quite upset about it, as well he should be. And CNS quotes some great Bible verses. They actually quote Bible verses in this article. Yes, they quote 1 John 4:10. Yes, that's right. 1 John 4:10. I'm not going to quote it for you. Look it up yourself, for crying out loud. And they also quote the first chapter of Romans, which is bound to get someone at CNS arrested before too long. You quote the first chapter of the book of Romans, and the homosexualists absolutely freak out, and if they could, they would stick a shiv in your ribs and gut you, if they could. That's how much the first chapter of Romans freaks them out. Oh, and they quote Leviticus. Leviticus, are you kidding me? Can you even do that in public anymore? Well, the brave souls at CNS News have done so. They've quoted Leviticus, the first chapter of Romans, and 1 John 4:10. By the way, 1 John 4:10 corrects this idea about love, Because the apostle himself tells us this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So let's just get it straight what love is all about. Yeah, let's get it straight. I like that. Now, let's go on. If you watch the news at all this week, you followed the saga of Mac Beggs, Trinity High School, ironically enough, down there in Cypress, Texas. Mac Beggs is a girl who is undergoing testosterone treatment so that he/she/it can become a boy. And while he/she/it is on massive amounts of testosterone, she is wrestling against girls in the Class 6A Texas Wrestling State Tournament. And so you got a girl all jacked up on testosterone wrestling other girls in the state tournament, and guess who won the title for the first time? That's right, it was the tranny jacked up on testosterone. Yeah, she won, and everyone was expected to sit there and bite their lip and hold their tongue and not say anything. A lot of the parents of some of the girls, they asked their daughters to, what do they call it? It's like what you do in chess. I can't remember the name of the word. Instead of standing up and speaking out and being angry, the girls were told to just concede. They didn't even wrestle, which is pathetic. The father of an actual female wrestler filed a lawsuit against the league. The hapless father says, "Our beef is not against the tranny or her parents or the school. It's with the league. The league made the wrong decision. As far as the parents injecting testosterone into their little girl and telling her she's a boy, he's fine with all that." Well, if you're fine with all that, Dad, then it's going to be very hard for you to make an argument that your daughter was discriminated against by having to go up against a tranny on testosterone. Since you can't even admit that you got a problem with parents abusing their kid, injecting her with testosterone, for crying out loud. Unbelievable. And that's in Texas, by the way. Yeah, why are girls doing wrestling anyway? Yeah, I'm with you on that. Another pitfall of the public schools is that your girl ends up on the wrestling team. Before you know it, the coach convinces her she's a boy. And then she's shaving, growing a mustache, for crying out loud. All right, Candace Wiggins. You remember Candace Wiggins, he said. No. She was a third pick overall in the 2008 WNBA draft. Ring a bell now? No, not at all. Nobody remembers the WNBA and nobody remembers Candace, but Candace has a very sad story to tell. She says she had to get out of the league because everybody in the league was lesbians and they made her very uncomfortable. She said, quote, "Me being heterosexual was a huge problem. I would say 98% of the women in the WNBA are gay women." And she doesn't mean happy. In fact, she means the opposite of happy. They're miserable pile of dykes is what they are. And they called her the B word and treated her horribly. And she hated it so much, she eventually quit the league, even though she says she could have played for two more years. But she didn't because she was made uncomfortable by all the dykes. All right. So there, now I've gotten through all the news of the transgendered and the perverted. And my extremely attractive audio engineer has somehow borne with all of that and stayed here. And so I would like to reward her with some kind of uplifting and interesting. Yeah, everything else is pretty. Let's just go to the domestic tranquility file, because while society debates the existence of other Earth-like planets and the aliens that might come and save us from ourselves, and while politicians and cultural leaders at the highest echelons in our civilization are unsure of what a boy or a girl is, while all that's going on, the bloodshed and violence in the streets of America continues unabated. This was just an aside story running up the side of another story that I was researching earlier in the week from Daytona Beach, Florida. The sheriff there, the Volusia County Sheriff, reports that 31-year-old Candace Hall was shot by her boyfriend, 37-year-old William Cox, He also shot the family dog when the dog attacked him as he was pistol whipping his girlfriend. He then shot and killed the dog, ran away, and killed himself. The girlfriend is expected to survive. And this is just another day in Daytona Beach. It barely makes the news. The sheriff says if there is a silver lining, it is that the woman didn't lose her life. And that's when you know your standards are pretty low as the sheriff. Yes, she was shot. Yes, she was taken to the hospital. Yes, she's in surgery, but she didn't lose her life. And that's like the best thing that happened in Daytona as far as the sheriff knew on that particular day. That's the domestic tranquility file. Meanwhile, down in Arizona, Sheriff Joe Arpaio has been replaced by a liberal sheriff named Penzone, Paul Penzone. His new policy has resulted over a recent 10-day period, more than 400 criminal illegal immigrants were released from the Maricopa County Jail. 400. The article from Judicial Watch goes on to describe how ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, they used to have a standing agreement with Sheriff Joe. They would just send over the wagons every week, and they would pick up all the criminal aliens to be deported. They didn't even have to do a lot of paperwork with Sheriff Joe. He made sure that the aliens who were criminals were deported. Well, now the new sheriff down there has released at least 400 that we know of, and more are on the way. And that's just sad that Sheriff Joe got bounced out. I don't know, maybe Donald Trump will hire Sheriff Joe to help with immigration. Let's hope so. I liked Sheriff Joe, even though I kind of lost... Well, I lost touch with him a little bit there when he became a pom-pom boy for Donald Trump. But, well, there you have it. What's right is no longer right, and the right is now... Well, the right is just a much smaller area than it used to be, and it encompasses a lot fewer people than it used to. But let's go, for a bit of relief, to the good old-fashioned graft file. Yes, this is just good old-fashioned graft. Lawmakers are investigating a sale to Kenya that was carried out on the final day of Barack Obama's administration. This was a $418 million arms sale to Kenya that would have allowed Kenya to buy 14 weaponized crop duster planes for missions against the terrorists in Al-Shabaab. And there's some dispute over the contractor who was awarded this $418 million arms contract to supply Kenya with weaponized crop duster planes. That sounds like an Obama deal, right? Steer $418 million to a friend of yours to up-armor crop dusters in order to fight the terrorists in Al-Shabaab. That sounds like just some good old-fashioned graft carried out by the Obama administration. Hopefully someone has gotten to the Kenyans and let them know that there are more effective weapon systems available than the up-armored crop dusters that they were about to spend nearly $500 million on. And, well, we won't follow that story because we don't care. Now, over the past year, 75% of the population of Venezuela has lost an average of almost 20 pounds due to lack of food. 82% of the nation's households live in poverty. They're suffering through triple-digit inflation, a nearly 80% currency collapse in the last year alone. And over 90% of people surveyed told researchers that their income was not enough to cover their food needs. Venezuelans are replacing meat with vegetables and tubers, mostly potatoes. People are eating everything from dogs and cats to donkeys and even anteaters. Now, these people in Venezuela are suffering through the socialist dream. The article says that this has all taken place. This is from Fox News. They say Venezuela's fallen on hard times since Nicolas Maduro took power following the death of Socialist League leader Hugo Chavez back in. As if Hugo Chavez didn't have anything to do with this. Come on. This is all Hugo's fault. But in Venezuela, the lack of food has earned a nickname. They call it the Maduro Diet. Yes. And if you, I saw a news article. The people look like, I mean, they look like people from the death camps with the thin faces and the bloated stomachs. It's unbelievable what's going on down there. I endorse my pastor Bob Inyart's call for an immediate invasion of Venezuela to save the people of Venezuela, and I'd be willing to go and participate myself. Well, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's the Weekly Worldview. I want to thank you for joining us. I want to thank my friends at American Rights to Life and at KGOV.com. And, of course, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen here in the Weekly Worldview studio. Should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.